Okay, let's go to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah 3, and I'll read the whole chapter. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Stop reading there. You had to know, right? We go to Jonah chapter 3. I hope you know why. Why would we go to Jonah chapter 3 today?
40 days
until May 21. 40 days. And that's the length of time that God gave to the Ninevites. 40 days. Now, you know, we always try to do this. Put yourselves in their shoes. Now we can. Right today, we can. You ever wondered what it'd be like to be a Ninevite and have some crazy guy come into your town? Some guy who just came out of a whale's belly, and he comes walking into the town, and he says, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And that's all he says that the Bible records. And you maybe heard him yourself, or maybe you didn't, because it's a big city, great city, of 3 days' journey, and he goes in a day's journey, and he says that. How many people could hear Jonah without microphones, without megaphones, with no way of broadcasting it to the whole city like we have today? How many people heard him say this? Well, maybe he went to the busiest market, and he proclaimed, he cried out, and he said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Maybe a couple hundred people, a couple thousand people. It's a great city, 120,000. And maybe he did it more than once, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. He could have continued into the city, to this place and that place, and said the same thing. But we don't know. All we know is he went into the city a day's journey, and he cried out one time and made this statement that in 40 days' time Nineveh would be overthrown. And we do know that the king wasn't there. The king wasn't there because it says in verse 6, For word came unto the king of Nineveh. So he didn't even hear Jonah personally. He didn't hear him directly. More than likely, only a few people there heard these words directly. But what happened? Well, whoever was there to hear, they shared with their friends and their family, and so on. It went from person to person to person. And you know, as we get further and further removed from Jonah the prophet, you would think that people would believe it less and less. But what we find is that they actually believed it. They actually, literally, believed it. Although, we don't find that Jonah went into the city and he went to a palsied man and told him to stand on his feet. We don't find Jonah went into the city and healed any blind, or made any deaf to hear, or any dumb to speak, or dead to rise. He didn't do any of that. He just said a single sentence. What proof did he offer? What proof did he give to show that it's true? Like today, we have to relate it to our day. We're proclaiming May 21 as Judgment Day, and there's many infallible proofs that are coming from the Bible. The way God has developed the timeline of history, the way He's locked everything in. And yet the many, many people say, well, that's not enough. That's not enough. What else is there? Come on, show me something else. Prove it to me. Show me where in the Bible it says it. And then you do take the time and you show how these things are all laid out and work out. Doesn't convince them. Doesn't change their mind. Were the Ninevites a special sort of people? Were they different than us? Well, it is true in our day, we are much more enlightened. We think. We think we are. We think we're a modern society. We know more than those ancient people who worshipped idols. Well, I think we do a little idol worship in our society. Actually, quite a bit of idol worship. But the thing is that despite lack of evidence, nothing to back it up, nothing to prove it, no miracles to verify he was a true prophet of the Lord. Actually, when you look at it, it was just measly information. One sentence given to perhaps a few hundred people, a couple thousand people, and then that word went through all the city, and they believe God. They actually believe God. And so I thought it would be a good time for us to go back to this chapter and to take a look, because today we have 40 days. 40 days, which can go pretty fast, pretty quickly. In 3 weeks, we'll be on May 1st. You can look at it that way. You know, it's coming. It's coming again. You know, we can't get around the date on the calendar. There's no way to avoid it. You can't go May 20th to May 22nd, as so many people want to do. And people say, I can't wait for May 22nd to come. I'm sure you can't. From your perspective, you greatly desire for May 22nd to come without event, without any change in the earth or any of these things coming to pass. And there's many people, they're just hoping and wishing that this May 21st will come and go, and then we'll get back to May 22nd, and then we'll get back to a normal life in this world. Well, there is no normal life in this world at all. And wanting to get back to normal in this world is a problem all its own. If anybody wants to go back to the normalcy that this world offers, that's a serious problem. That you enjoy and you prefer this world to what God is saying is coming in His kingdom, eternal life, eternal blessings. It's really an indicator when people greatly want this day to pass that there's a deeper problem in their life. Okay, let's go to Jonah 3, verse 1. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the second time, saying. And we know the first time we read about in chapter 1, God came to him, told him to go to Tarshish, and he fled. He didn't want to do it, and he got into a ship, and he went to where God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went into a ship for Tarshish to escape and to get away from his task, from the duty that God gave him to do. And then the Lord arranged the storm to come at sea, and we won't go through the whole thing. We know that story. In order to quiet the storm, the mariners threw him overboard, and God immediately did quiet the storm and also arranged for a whale, a great fish, to come and swallow him up. And then after 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, he was spit out onto the dry ground. And Jonah 2, verse 10, "And Jehovah spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And so the word of the Lord is coming to him a second time and saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." And God is telling us he put the words in Jonah's mouth, that he told him to preach exactly what Jonah did preach. And, you know, as we look at that, we find that, let's just look at what he was preaching. Let's consider what he didn't preach. Let's look at it that way. He didn't say, "Oh, you Ninevites, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." He didn't preach that. God didn't bid him to preach that. He didn't say also, "Peace and safety to you people of Nineveh. May you live long and prosper, and may you have quietness in your city." He didn't say that. There was no peace and safety message. And there was no grace, no compassion, no mercy that we read about. Jonah didn't say, "Yet 40 days and God will overthrow Nineveh, but be encouraged because he's a gracious God and merciful and good and compassionate, and he might spare you." God didn't give all that other information, even though we know it's true. It was a message that had none of that, but which contained two elements: time and judgment. For instance, in verse 4, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" So we see that the reference to 40 days here, and the number 40 is used in the Bible mostly as a time of testing. The Israelites spied out the land for 40 days. But also it can relate to judgment, because they spied out the land for 40 days and then came back with an evil report. They had to wander in the wilderness a year for each day that they spied out the land, for 40 years. That was a punishment. That was a judgment of God upon them. And so, you know, when God uses the number 40, it relates to testing, like Jesus being tested in the wilderness for 40 days. But it can also involve a judgment. And now we have 40 days left, each one of us. And so there's a final test in our life. God's been testing all along in this great tribulation. And now we're at the end of it, 40 more days in the great tribulation. The time of testing comes to an end. It's over. And now especially we're down to the wire. We're down to the end of all things. And what is the test? Will we believe God? Will we? That was the test for the Ninevites, as God gave this message: "Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown." Put yourself in their place, and we could quickly and easily write it off. If you heard that, you could say, "I don't know this guy. I don't know Jonah. He's a stranger. and why should I believe him? Or you could also say, not only is he a stranger, he's a foreigner from Israel, another nation, an enemy nation. And why in the world would we want to listen to a Jew, to an Israelite, that's telling us that we're going to be judged in 40 days? Or they could have, maybe the more concerned amongst them could have taken what Jonah said and run to their priests. The Assyrians, the Ninevites, would have had holy men, just like any nation, and said, have you heard anything from God? Is he going to destroy us in 40 days? Is he going to overthrow the city? And the holy men, well, they could have been offended that anyone would dare make a claim like that without first checking with them. And they could have said, no, God hasn't revealed anything to us. And you know, we're the holy men of God. And if he was going to do something like this, certainly he would tell us. But that didn't happen. None of that happened. They didn't dismiss it. They didn't ignore it. They didn't go to their holy men to verify it. Have you ever noticed when someone's interviewed about May 21? I think by this time we could write the script. Here's how the news media approaches it. Come to the individual who's in the caravan or holding up the sign. You think May 21's Judgment Day? Yes. And then they explain why they think May 21's Judgment Day. And I think, God's people, God's really opened their mouth. He's given a mouth and wisdom which all the adversaries are not able to gainsay nor resist. And they give a good answer because they're referring to the Bible. And so then the reporter, this doesn't happen all the time, but pretty much all. The reporter then, after hearing from the child of God who says Judgment Day is May 21, goes to the pastor, to the authority. And they say, Pastor, tell us, these people over here are saying Judgment Day will be May 21. What do you think? No man knows a day or hour. Nobody knows a day or hour. There's always these predictions that come up all through history, especially in tough economical times. Then you'll find these predictions that are raised up, and they come and go. There was 200 in the past. 201 will come and go. And that's the idea behind it all. Or, sometimes they really pile it on. Like there was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer. He wasn't content with one pastor. He had to go to three or four. And when they all said the same thing, then a little assurance. Then, don't worry about this. It's not going to happen. We have the authority to tell us it's not going to happen because they're the Lutheran, they're the Presbyterians, they're the Episcopalians, they're the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the Seventh-day Adventists. They all say the same thing. Finally, agreement. Finally, in the church world, agreement. They don't agree about anything else, but amazingly, they agree no man can know the day or hour. And that's how the news report ends. Normally, they close out on a happy note, on a good note. You can't possibly know. We went to the authority. Is the pastor the authority? Is the church the authority? Or is the Bible the authority? Now, the Bible says May 21, 2011. And you can put that on a scale. And you can pile up over here 2 billion professing Christians if you want. And they say, no way. No way. You can't know. Well, does it balance or does it outweigh the Bible? Absolutely not. Doesn't matter how many people. All the world could say it. And it doesn't matter. If God is saying this is the day, the appointed day of judgment, it will be the appointed day of judgment. And he is definitely saying that as his pattern all through biblical history. He forewarns before he judges. And that's why he sent Jonah to Nineveh to say, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the Ninevites, It's amazing. It's almost a miracle. I think, to me, it's more astounding than Jonah being swallowed by a whale and living and being vomited out 3 days later, that the people believe God without any evidence, without any proof. And, well, you know, just to explain how it happened, let's go to John chapter 8. How it happened that people believe this message. And, it doesn't happen all the time. Noah preached a similar message before the flood. How many believed him in the world? Only his own family. And God worked that out. 8 souls out of a world of a few million. And it doesn't happen all the time. And here is why. In John 8, just to get a little context, Jesus is speaking to those who believed on him. He's not talking to those who don't. It says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." That's who he's talking to professed Christians. And then it says in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil." He's still talking to those that believed on him. "And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Wow. Well, you don't believe because I'm telling a lie. No. If I told a lie, you'd believe it. Right? We tell our children, or I hope we don't, but we used to, those that God has brought to himself, but the rest of the world does in one way or another. They'll tell them some story. Santa's coming. Do the children believe? When they're young, yeah. Easter Bunny's coming to give you some candy and eggs. Yeah. People, we tell lies all the time. We love a lie. That's why we watch TV. That's why we go to movies. That's why all the things of the world interest us so much, because it's all a lie. It's a delusion. Yes, it's real. You can hold these things. They're physically there. Your iPod's in your hand. But what you're doing with that iPod is the lie. And, you know, isn't it sad when people come home and they turn on their television, or they just watch things every day, every single day of their life? That's where they cry. That's where they laugh. That's where they're enraptured with interest. They're living their life through images on a screen, through stories. And people suspend all belief when they watch it, because they're caught up. It's like they're really there. This is really happening. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Reading books. You know, I used to read a lot of books, Stephen King novels. There's no vampires. It's a lie. It's a lie. There's no aliens. It's a lie. But how many people believe there's aliens? And a fortune teller can't tell your fortune. It's a lie. When you look at life, it's a lie in just about every area. And especially when you go to church. And when the church says, "Be baptized and you'll be right with God." When the church says, "Walk down this aisle and say the sinner's prayer, or accept Christ, and then you'll be saved." It's all a lie. People believe that strongly, great confidence, great faith. I know I was saved when I accepted Christ so many years ago, and it's a lie. And And so Jesus is saying in John 8:45, because, this is the reason, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And if I, the previous verse, in this account somewhere, Christ says, if I told you a lie, that you would believe. And then in verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Why do you not believe Judgment Day is May 21? Why? The real reason. What's the truth about that? The real reason, he's going to tell us. I got lost. If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. The people prior to the flood who perished in the flood were not of God. The flood, it says in 2 Peter 2, came upon the world of the ungodly. They knew all about it because Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but they were not of God, and they didn't believe to the point of going to God and beseeching Him and casting their life upon Him. Instead, they believed their neighbors. They believed their family members. They believed others, because everybody else in all the world believed the same thing. He's a nut. He's a good guy, nice guy. You know, people have a way of flowering up their attacks. Oh yeah, he's a good neighbor in many ways, but he's a nut. He's crazy. He's building this ark for year after year after year after year, and look, we're still here. We're still here. Now he's telling us 7 days, and so it's very safe and comfortable to go with the flow of the world, and that's what most people do, and they do not believe the word of God, and they perish because of it, and so too, in just 40 days, will many, many people perish because they don't believe the truth of the word of God. They're being warned. They're hearing the sound of the trumpet with their physical ear, but they're not taking any action. They're not doing anything about it. And therefore, they really do not understand. And they're going to take their chances. They're going to take their chances. And that's the tragic thing that we're seeing all around us. Okay, let's go back to Jonah. In chapter 3, Jonah 3, and verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Where it says Nineveh was an exceeding great city, literally it means a great city to God. The word God is in there. In Hebrew, the word Elohim is what it says if you look in your interlinear. Nineveh, a great city to God. And therefore, if it's a great city to God, it's an exceeding great city, the translators thought. And that's true. It's a great city because God had much people there. And he wanted to make a positive example of them. We have negative examples all over of people who don't believe, like Lot's sons-in-law. When God came to Lot and he said, escape, get out of this city, for the Lord will destroy it. And then Lot went to his sons-in-law and he told them almost word for word what the angel of the Lord had told him. Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy it. And they looked on him as one that mocked. That is, father-in-law, you can't be serious. You really can't be serious. You're joking. And maybe they had a laugh. Well, he was very serious. and there was no time to waste. They were laughing then, but soon the fire and brimstone would fall from heaven, and then there's no more laughter, there's no more joy. In Jonah 3:4, we read this, but again, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Go to Genesis 19 and verse 24. Then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Jehovah out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities. That's the word overthrown. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So God is using the same word that he used with Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. We know what it means then. If you're overthrown, you're utterly destroyed. You're completely destroyed, as God did to those four cities of the plain. And going back to Jonah, it says in verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." Thank you. There's a car alarm sounding, New Jersey plate, white Nissan, an Altima. Yeah, your car alarm is sounding. This verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." Now, to fast means what? Stop eating. To stop eating. And by the way, we don't have to do that with these 40 days. Nobody should think, "Well, I'm going to stop eating from now till May 21. God doesn't care if you eat or don't eat. Well, he would care if you're starving yourself, but otherwise it doesn't matter. You know, God uses the word fast spiritually. But the important thing here is they proclaimed a fast and they did stop eating and drinking. And that's important because if we go to Matthew 24, it says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Of course they were warned. Why would God indicate they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, if he hadn't first told them that judgment day is coming at a specific time? And it's wrong of them. Why? Why is it wrong? God gave the institution of marriage. There's nothing wrong with that. God knows we have to eat and drink. There's nothing wrong with that. But it was wrong of them to continue with their life normally, going on day after day normally. That's why he's saying they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. If we go to Luke 17, it also speaks of Sodom. Well, verse 27 is the flood again. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." just continuing on eating, drinking, marrying, building, planning. It's another day in the world. It's another day, a normal day. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. And that's probably the problem with some here and with a lot of people. The problem is you're hearing it. You might even believe it. Or you might even have interest in this. But you're going on as normal. Now, we have to do some things. That's true. We may still have to work. We may still have school. And God tells us, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You know, that's what we tell our children if they're going to school, if they have tests and subjects. Why should I do it if May 21 is Judgment Day? Because whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord. We serve Him in wherever He's placed us. However, there is also a mindset. And there's an attitude that people can have, which is just going about our daily routine, daily normal business, when we're hearing something that is not typical, and it's not something we're hearing that we should have a response of just everyday events, or we take it as though we're hearing anything else. This is the end of the world. This is the end of all things. The end is at hand. The end. No more ends. The end is here in 40 days. The world will be destroyed. In 40 days, Judgment Day begins, and then it's over for all intents and purposes. There's just a 5-month period of great sorrow, of torment. And that information ought to at least allow each person who hears it to interrupt their life. Stop what you're doing. Stop the way you're going. Stop all of the unnecessary things that you're doing and start thinking seriously about your relationship to God. Look at it this way, I've never experienced this, but I know through the news it happens all the time, where the hurricane is coming through the Caribbean and it's approaching the coast of Florida or Texas or some of these states, and they get a warning coming over their television or radio. The emergency broadcast system interrupts the program. You know, if we did that with May 21 Judgment Day, all kinds of people would be upset. They would be mad. How dare you interrupt our comedy show? How dare you interrupt this movie to tell us this news? Well, but if the emergency broadcast system interrupts regularly scheduled programming and says a hurricane is coming directly for you, where you live, in your town, on the coast, are you going to turn it off? That's what some people do. They put their back to this information. They turn around. They go away from it. You're gonna switch that off? Or are you going to hear a hurricane, a huge hurricane? It's going to destroy the whole town. You're going to hear that and you're going to go do the dishes? You're going to walk around the house vacuuming? And preparing your meal and getting what about your children? Their children are running through the house. Maybe they're going off to play. You're not going to say anything to them? Bye, children. Have a nice day. How horrible. How awful. Because you have a lot of trust in your, you know. We know most people, there's normally one or two, you always hear about rides out a storm. Most people know, oh, I've just been warned. I got to take care of things. And they're frantically boarding up their windows, gathering their valuables, getting their children whom they love, making sure they're in the car and ready to go, to get out of town, to flee. And yet, the only difference between that and this is a billion times worse, and this is spiritual. It's spiritually discerned. We can't look at weather maps and we don't have the weather people to tell us it's coming. We have more trust in the weather people that a hurricane will come than in the God of the Bible who created the weather. And He's telling us the end of all things is May 21 this year, 40 days from now. And we continue preparing our meals, eating and drinking, laughing, and marrying and giving in marriage. There's going to be people who have their wedding dates on May 21 because it's a Saturday in the spring. No, this is the tragedy that Jesus was saying. You believe me not, because I tell you the truth. If I tell you a lie, you wouldn't believe it. Going back to Jonah, and just one last thing, in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Sackcloth. And what's that indicate? Well, if you go to, we don't have time to go many places. Let's just go to Esther chapter 4. And if you do look up sackcloth, you'll find that it's often in connection with mourning. Mourning as in sadness. It says in Esther 4 verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done. And what was done? Well, chapter 3, 13, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, a date of judgment, a date to perish. If they reach that date, they will die unless something happens between this point that the proclamation is giving and when that date arrives. Otherwise, all Jews would die. Now, here's the reaction of Mordecai and the Jewish people in Esther 4. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate. For none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. That is sanity. That is evidence of people who have their wits about them, who have soundness of mind. They understand they're going to die on a set date, but they also understand that there's a God who can spare them. There's a God who can rescue and deliver and save. And He's a faithful God and a good God and a merciful God. And so they went to Him, and it interrupted their life. It interrupted their life when you put on sackcloth and ashes and you're weeping and wailing and mourning. That's very important. They were mourning because the world laughs now. Blessed are they that mourn, the Bible says. The world laughs now. And they don't want to mourn. They don't want sadness. They don't want sorrow. And for instance, in Luke 6, in verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. If you laugh now, enjoy yourself. Continue in the pleasures of sin. As you have, as I have, as we all have. Continue. Continue allowing TV and internet and iPods and all these things. You know, there's so many of them I can't keep track of them. Continue to allow these things to be something that consumes and wastes your time on a daily basis. And all right, You enjoy your pleasure now, but then comes the time of mourning and weeping. And in Revelation 18, that's what's going on. They're seeing it coming on. They're seeing the judgment approach because it's begun. And then there's weeping and wailing of the people of the world. But at that point, the mourning of the true believer, you know, we sow our seed in tears, but joy cometh in the morning. And so be a little cast down. Be a little cast. Shed a few tears. We should. We really should. If we go to God and we beseech Him, and you know, it's better, Ecclesiastes tells us, to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. Allow this information to seep into your mind, and it will cast you down if you're not saved. Or if you're saved, and what about your family? You'll begin to greatly sorrow for them. You'll begin to mourn at this time, but then joy is coming soon. Or on the other hand, continue. And now each of us has 40 days, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Of course, there's one more day that we'll observe shortly, or one more milestone from Genesis 7, verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I'll cause it to rain upon the earth. So there's the same similar language. We're 33 days away from that, where we can say, yet 7 days. And, you know, God's grace and mercy is there right now. I just have to read one last verse and then we'll close. In Zephaniah chapter 2. And this is just comforting. It should really bring great consolation. In Zephaniah 2:1, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth. Before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of Jehovah come upon you, before the day of Jehovah's anger come upon you, seek ye Jehovah, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Jehovah's anger. Maybe, no guarantee, and I said that would be the last verse. And I see I have problems with the truth too. But Jonah 3, after they were sitting in sackcloth and ashes, verse 6, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let him turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. So it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. It could be. It may be that God does turn away from destroying the individual who goes to him on his terms. But we also have to remember how merciful and kind he is. And when anyone ever went to Jesus, he never turned them away. Never. No matter what they requested as far as healing, he healed them in every case. And so that doesn't say he will or is obligated to heal us from our sin, but it tells us of his nature and how good and kind he is. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for your word, and Father, we almost don't know what to do, but you actually we should know what to do, because you tell us, you tell us to give attendance to reading, and to read the Bible, and you tell us to pray without ceasing, and not to faint, but to continue on, and Father, you have given us many encouragements in the Bible to show us that you do forgive sin, you do pardon iniquity, you are able to put sin as far as the east is from the west, and to cast it into the depths of the sea, and you're able to grant salvation in a moment, like the thief on the cross. And yet we have 40 days. And Father, we pray we would not put off and neglect this salvation and assume that tomorrow will be of the same mind as today, if we have interest today, or next week. We'll get to it next week. And this, Father, we know is what you're telling us. That now is the day. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. And there's no guarantees anywhere that we might get caught up in something or be ill and never again be at this point. And we do ask that you would have mercy on our house, have mercy on our children, and help the believer in the house to continue to pray. No matter what they're saying, no matter what they're doing, but continue to pray to you who has the ability to turn an individual, the hardest of men you can turn. And Father, we pray that you would help us to persist and continually go to you, asking for bread for neighbors or family, and we do ask that you would save them and open their eyes. Father, we pray you be with the caravan today as it goes into Philadelphia, and bless each one who's going and all those that will see them or receive the tracts. We pray that you would move to will and do of your good pleasure and coordinate all things as all events are under your power and control. And may you orchestrate this whole thing and have it accomplish your purpose. And Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.